testimony tonight. For that desire tonight. I appreciate that. We got several prayer requests tonight. We'll just go over these and I'll ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come up and pray over these. Sister Donna Pistole turns in a request for her brother, Jimmy Cantrell. He's having heart problems, also needs salvation. Just remember that. Please pray for Sister Nola Babb. She's having sinus problems, doing some better. But she's had this problem for some time, so let's remember Sister Nola. Please remember me in prayer. For about 2 months, I've been getting headaches and need healing. Thank you. That's from Sister Janet Kennedy. request from Brother John and Sister Linda Taylor from Johnson City, New York. Brother John's sister has some kind of condition causing intense pain and growing weakness. She's currently in the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. So just remember that. Also, Brother's son-in-law has been experiencing major problems with GI bleeding. He's been in the ICU for a few days, which takes care of part of the problems, but still having some bleeding, and the doctor can't find the source. Just remember that. Sister Linda Jablonski says, "My precious church family, thank you for praying for me. The Lord healed me of strep and other things. I just want to give Him all the glory and the praise." So we praise the Lord with you for that. Sister Marcy Roberts, sinus problems, allergies. John turns that in. And that's it for the request. Just an announcement. There will be a trustees meeting after the service. If you could stand, Brother Terry, come pray over these requests.
back in the house of the Lord one more time. You know, being graduation time for seniors and so forth, I was just thinking that, you know, you spend 12 or 13 years in school and you get to be a senior and you look forward to graduation. You know, you're going to graduate. You're going to leave that place of school and go on to a better career, as it were. Well, you know, we're just getting ready to graduate ourselves. You know, all these years we've been in school, we're getting ready to graduate. And the anticipation of graduation is so tremendous for young people. Just multiply that many, many times over, the graduation from this life to a better life. Brother, that's why I'm happy. We have an escape out of here. Thank God for that. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Thank God for this time to be together. Lord Jesus, first of all, I want to invite your presence tonight. We want you to, as we've said many times, take the uppermost seat. May we just divorce from our minds things that we did today, what we perhaps may do Monday, and let us just focus on you, and may we think about you and worship you and talk to you and love you and learn of you, meditate on you, sing about you, for it's all about you. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We ask, Lord, tonight as we come, that you would forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, the things that we have done that's wrong, things that we have uttered from our mouth that we should have not uttered, things that we have said, a cross word, maybe not thinking this or that. Lord, we just ask you to just cleanse us and make us, as we come into your temple, Lord, to be able to worship you. We want to stand justified before you. Cleanse us, I pray. I pray that you would anoint the speaker to come. As Brother Donnie brings the word of the Lord, may it be spiritual food in due season. And give us that spiritual manna that would help us to grow and put faith muscles on us. Lord, we're living in a land of chaos and Satan's Eden, seeing all the things and how the progression, even since the first year, has just multiplied and multiplied. And we see the chaotic times. And you said it would be that way. And it just gives us courage and gives us inspiration, knowing it's close and the cup of iniquity is closing off quickly, and we hate to see it, but yet it's prophesied it would be. But yet we're thankful, and we look forward to that great time of graduation. The prophet told us never lose our enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord. As we look to these requests, Lord, all the local ones, the sick, many, it was read tonight, several, the sister Mayo Clinic, you touch her in every need, and upon every people's hearts, Lord, that they would have an unsaved loved one or one that was sick. I pray that you would just meet their needs and bring to pass the desired result according to your divine will. You've already paid the price. May we just have faith to believe for it. That's all you ask for. Could we appropriate that faith? Lord Jesus, we're just asking, Lord, to make us to help us to draw closer to you, that we would be the type of vessel that you would be so pleased with. As we've learned about the Song of Solomon, Lord, that's the kind of a little sister that we desire to be. Help us to grow into that state of maturity. Bring the last one in, Lord. Those overseas, did you help them? Lord, I've got a couple requests from brothers that I know overseas. That one brother on his, a pastor in the Philippines, he was going home from Wednesday night service on his little motorcycle. A fox ran across the road and caused him to have an accident, cut his face all up. Lord, just touch him and needs help to pay the medical bills. And they're just things everywhere. Lord, Brother Lewis down in Peru, he needs help paying his medical bills for the surgery and all that he went through. And Lord, there's needs around the world. We have needs here in this tabernacle, but you're the supplier of all needs. Grant these things, Lord, tonight. We love you. Bless the service, all that's done and said. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated. Well, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way for the
sin. Once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. With me everywhere, and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird, and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul. Since the Comforter abides with me, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides. Rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wing. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides.
Would like to come lift the offering tonight. F minor. Seem like.
Hallelujah.
When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. And I will sing, I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David sang. I will sing. Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will pray like Daniel prayed. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will pray like Daniel prayed. Like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I'm gonna dance like David danced. I will dance.
We can get out of here.
The Spirit of the Lord falls upon me.
Jesus, that's our ticket out.
The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart. I will love like Jesus loves. Help me.
I believe the Parker girls have a song for us tonight. If they'd come on, go ahead and sing for us. Do you need help with the mics? Do you need help with the mics? We sure appreciate that tonight. I knew it was going to be awful cute, but I didn't know it was going to be good too. That was a plus. That was a great job, girls. That was really good. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Let's sing Jesus Draw Me Close. I believe that's everybody's testimony tonight. Let's sing that to him. And F.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you.
yes, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord.
Oh, so
is that your desire tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together as we approach Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we know that we're even blessed to have this desire to be closer to You. Lord, we are grateful to know that You've said in Your Word, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We are, Lord, constantly bombarded in a world that are thirsting and hungering for so many kinds of things. And yet, Lord, the more they hunger and thirst, the less they're satisfied. But we know that if we hunger and thirst after You, we shall be filled. Lord, I pray tonight that You would help us as we look into Your Word once again. May we be illuminated by the presence of God. May we be benefited, Lord, by coming together tonight in the house of God. Lord, I have these prayer calls in my hands. Lord Jesus, You know exactly these needs. Dear God, as I preach with them tonight, I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost would just go with them, Lord. And I'm asking You, Father, in the name of Jesus, that You would just minister as only You can. Anoint us tonight, Father, not only speaker, but hearer, as we're able to receive from the Word. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. Song of Solomon. Chapter 6, verse 8. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 8. There are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Now, actually, this is taken from a custom which seems to be very different for our mentality and our thinking. But one member of a harem found favor in the king's eyes, then it was a custom that many of those other queens and concubines would praise that one because she so delighted the king and the king delighted in her. Now, more than likely, this will never happen to the Queen of Heaven until, of course, the great kingdom comes, because right now they're certainly jealous of her and they do everything they can to run her down. But there is a time coming when they will certainly praise her. Now, notice in verse 10, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Listen to verse 10 again. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and again this verse we looked at from last week, and terrible as an army with banners. May the Lord bless His words. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on fair as the moon, clear as the sun. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun. Let's go straightway to the Ephesian church age, page 80, and let me share with you where we are and what we need to help us to see many of these things. The true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is His righteousness. Her attributes are His own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in Him. What He is, she is to reflect. What He has, She is to manifest. There is no fault in her. Now listen, we cannot anyway, there's no way for us to be able to see this without the grace of God. And truly, I don't think we'll ever be able to fully comprehend even what we're about to read until we are totally changed. But what little bit that God will allow us to see, it must be Him that will give us the ability to see and believe such a thing. Because we will look at ourselves, we will look at one another, we will see our failures, our shortcomings, and we will look at our faults, and then we'll compare our faults to what this says. Whenever this says, there is no fault in her. And then we will begin to think, well, I must not be a part of her if there is no fault in her. And if we do not, if we fail to separate the elect from the part which is not born again, then you can see why Satan will absolutely wear us out with things that are so precious and wonderful. But yet the her that we are talking about is certainly not our flesh. Because our flesh, our natural birth, our human makeup, all of that, it is full of faults. And the church said, every one of us have faults and mistakes and shortcomings and all that. So when we read something as profound as this is, we have to separate that from this here and realize there's two different things. And we know that God has the capability of looking and seeing things that we just cannot see, friends. You might as well just admit that. God sees things in us. God sees things in others. You and I might look at others and we think, my, they are so full of fault and they're this and that and the other. And yet God may look at them in a total different way. And hopefully He's looking at us in the same way as well. Because we know that His sight is so different. So He doesn't just look at what that person currently is or what they are even presently manifesting, but He can look and see what their destiny is or what eventually in time will lead them to. So their destiny will overpower the influence of what presently is going on. Thank God. I'm so glad that He don't just see that in others. I'm glad He sees that in me and you. Because we know that by Him being able to look and see that He can see it in such a profound way, and then I think it comes back to what we said Wednesday night, that Moses looking at what God was seeing that Moses could do and seeing what God had commissioned Moses to do, and Moses struggling with his own weakness and his own failures and thinking, there's no way that I can do this. I just cannot accomplish it. It's too great. God, you're God. This is a great work. This needs to be done, but I simply cannot do it. And eventually God has to give something to Moses that will push him over the ebb or the tide to where he gives strength to be able to realize God called him to do the job. And I feel the same way. I'm sure you feel the same way. Who are we that God would give us the challenge to be able to reflect the glory of the risen Savior in this last day? Who are we that we should gather together all the glorious attributes of the manifested Son of God and be able to shine as the woman from Sychar to those that are lost and dying in this world? How in the world can we be able to do it? There's only one way we can, and that is if we are called to do it, and He empowers us to be able to fulfill His word. Now watch, since she is His attributes, she is His righteousness, her identity is found in Him. What He is, she is to reflect. Now listen to that word carefully. What He is, she is to reflect. Now we know that a reflection is not always 100% bearing the same image or identity of what's striking the image of where the source is coming from. Now a reflection, what is a reflector? Something that has the ability to catch light and be able to reflect. Your taillights are totally different from your headlights. Your marker lights on the side of your vehicle are totally different than your headlights, because your marker lights are made in such a way where you can take a 12-volt bulb, very, very dim, and be able to cut the little diamond shape on the back side of that, and it will magnify it by the way that it's made. But you don't want your headlight made the same way. So you want your headlight to be made in
a clear beam by which that LED light or that strong, powerful light would be able to lighten the way so you can see where you're going at 70 miles an hour. But yet you wouldn't want them same kind of lights on the side of your vehicle, nor would you want them same kind of lights for stoplights or for backup lights, because it would blind the person behind you. So what do? Then you put a smaller, weaker bulb in a slot and you make that lens cover so it will reflect. And it breaks up the direct rays to where it does not come straight out and blind somebody. It's the same way with the bride. The bride will never be exactly like the sun, but she is to reflect what the sun is. So the sun is purity, righteousness, holiness. He's all of these great things. And the bride will be similar to a marker light on the vehicle, or she will be similar to a stoplight or a backup light. She's not going to be the headlight. She will never reflect it in the same glory that he does. And this is the miraculous thing. He does not even expect her to do so. But she will reflect it in a more watered down, weaker version, but it is still the same thing. Now you take the same lights that comes from your headlights to your marker lights to the dome lights on the inside. Where does it all come from? A 12-volt system which is operated, if you have an automobile, a 12-volt system that is operated in your car. Now it's hard to imagine that the headlights, the taillights, the dome lights, the dash lights, how would you like it if you go out to church tonight and you go to turn your lights on and your dash lights light up like your headlights? And you ain't gonna be able to go nowhere for a while because you can't even see. But yet all of that operates. What if the headlights was a 1,000 volts and the dome light was a 12 volt and the turn signal was a 15 volt and this, but yet somehow they've been able to figure out a way through fuses and direct current how that they can manipulate all of that on a 12 volt system. Yet some shines real brilliant light. Some will be a lot less. Some will be a lot less. You follow me? So then according to that, that's the way the gospel is. Each one of us have our position in the body. Oh, I don't know why everybody wants to be a headlight in this message. I don't understand why in the world everybody wants to be a searchlight. We've got to have turn signals for him. We've got to have dash lights. We've got to have dome lights. We've got to have all kinds of lights everywhere. Let's just find the socket that we're made to fit and get in there and find our place. If God never made you a headlight, don't get mad at the headlight. Just find what God has made you to be. As a pastor, this is one of the biggest issues that I find dealing with people, is trying to get them into their place and have them to function within the framework of the body, and to be able to convince them that what the capability God gives them is where they should find their place and work. Now what if a little bitty tiny dome light on the inside of your car said, I want to be the headlight? And you say, no, you're not going to be my headlight. You'll never even get me down here to the traffic light. Say, I don't care what you say, I'm a headlight. And you're that big? You're that big and you're a headlight? You want to illuminate my journey to go back home? That's the way it is a lot of times with people. They've got in their mind, boy, they're the headlight. They're the brightest light in the whole thing. And they get mad and hoarded if you cross them with it. Don't tell me I know. Oh yeah, they get mad and hoarded. But yet you're telling them you're not bright enough to be a headlight. Don't you tell me I can't be a headlight, glory to God. But yet, you know what? It's evident by the fruit they have, they're not a headlight. They might make a good dome light. They might make a good marker light on the side of your vehicle. But yet if God has called a man, woman, boy, or girl to be a headlight, it will be manifested by the attributes that they have. Come on, children. And they'll be able to be wired, and they'll be able to go in and function and be exactly what God wants them to be. Oh my, but yet the bride itself can only function by the election of God according to what God's given you and how he's gifted us to be able to stand in the body. Oh, if each of us could find our place, an automobile is an amazing thing. How man can be able to do all that. And you say, how much greater is God? Why does God have so much problems with us? We get in our car and he just does what's supposed to, unless it's tore. If it's tore, we take it to a mechanic somewhere and they try to chase it down and figure what's in it. And yet we spend most of our life trying to find what God wants us to be. How much trouble would save ourselves and God and the body if we get in our spot and just stay there? Oh my. Well, somebody's going to do it. I believe it. Now watch. He said what he is, she is to reflect. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. Her who? Now we're talking about the seed, the gene, the soul, the word. There is no fault in her. Don't get in your mind, yourself, your husband, your wife, your pastor, your prophet. There is no such a human being that there are faultless or without mistake. But now if you're talking about the soul, that's a different thing. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord. And all His works are perfect. God don't make no junk. All His works are perfect. Now listen to this. This is mind-boggling. It is overwhelming. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. I need help. Not just being it, but seeing it. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine now, in her is summed up the total complete wisdom and purpose of God. You mean the universe? In the universe is not summed up the wisdom of God. Think of the millions and millions of stars since they've sent Hubble up, you know, 25 years ago, 27, whatever it's been now. And Hubble being up above the earth, 340 miles or whatever it is, above the earth. Hubble has been able to break into worlds out there of stars. And years ago, whenever scientists would look out and they would see a little glistening star, and they thought it was maybe one or two stars until Hubble was able to go up above the earth, and what they thought was one star, they found out now was actually galaxies. Galaxies which contain millions of stars. And they thought they were seeing one star, but it was actually a galaxy, and many of them are bigger than the one we live in. So now they're saying there are millions and millions of galaxies. Lord have mercy. There's no telling how many stars there are without number. And yet my daddy made them all and gave them every one a name. And yet the wisdom of God and the purpose of God is not summed up in that. Look at springtime and botany life and the plants and the animals, how it's all coming up, and oh, what a beautiful time it is of the year. And to see the miracle of life, of how it hides down in the cold in the winter, and yet in this warm sun begins to come out, it breaks forth. And you look at that and you say, so the wisdom of God is not summed up in that. The eternal purpose is not summed up in that. And yet God would come and sum up. So the total value of the wisdom and the purpose of God is not summed up in nature. It is not summed up in the universe. It is not summed up in His great creative acts. It is actually summed up in the bride. She is the sum total of the wisdom and the purpose of God. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. Amen. And I'm so glad He said these next few words. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it, though we cannot do that? Now notice now, this ought to bring to us a consolation to know that there is a certain element of our position that will not clearly be revealed until after the change. But yet what we want to do is understand everything God has for us on this side while we're in time. You understand that? But yet much of it, no doubt, will never be able to be understood. Whenever we stand there before Him and He begins to unveil Himself in that eternal form, and then we have moved beyond time and we move beyond our human senses and human perception and human capabilities of trying to understand it, then we are birthed back into eternity. And then he begins to unfold his eternal wisdom. What we will find is that we are part of that unfolding even in eternity. What we cannot comprehend now, even by preaching and listening to tapes and reading the Bible and studying the message, no doubt will be further revealed as eternity unfolds itself. Oh, hallelujah. Do you think in eternity, oh yeah, it really gets to me, you know, because you realize folks in the message, they just doctrine. That's some of the main thing. But actually, is that what we're going to discuss in eternity? You think we're going to set up in eternity and discuss serpent seed? And we're not going to discuss no eternal hell and discuss tongues being the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Many of these doctrines only have to do in time. So what are we going to talk about in eternity if these doctrines are only in time? No doubt it will be the eternal and his purpose and wisdom, which includes us. Doctrines many times can be preached and adored and even worshiped by people. But you know what? What I love to do is to be able to hear the word in such a way that makes me not fall in love with the preacher or the doctrine, but the person of the Lord Jesus. If you only love doctrines, you'll not go in the rapture. If you only love the preacher who's bringing it, you'll not go in the rapture. You've got to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Exactly right. Now notice, how can one fathom it? How can one understand it? But we cannot do that. Now this is what we can and must do. We can accept it by faith. Which doesn't mean you'll understand it. Doesn't mean you'll fathom it. Doesn't mean you'll comprehend it. It means you accept it by faith because God said it. Now watch, he says, though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith, for God hath spoken. Can I understand and fathom that I am part of that eternal wisdom and purpose of God? I can't, Brother Jim, there's no way. But one thing I can do, I accept that I am. I believe, what about a church? I believe that I am part of that, do you? You've got to believe something about yourself. You'll either believe you are or believe you aren't. I'm going to believe I am. Now, let us go back now to Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. And let's look at the bride in a little different view. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Now, watch how the speaker here identifies the bride as the aurora, or the breaking of the day. Now, she looketh forth, look at these words, who is she? Now, the question is being asked, who is she that looketh forth as the morning star or Venus? Now, these words describe the progressive light that happens when the morning begins to shed forth. Now, we know that morning doesn't absolutely just bang, there it is, that it's like shutting off a light, that you're standing there at nighttime, and all of a sudden you turn on the daylight, and the daylight comes, all of a sudden it's there, and the darkness is totally dispelled. That's not the way it is. But the darkness will begin to leave as the light begins to creep up. Now, the sun is what we call raising, and whenever the sun will raise, the morning has already broken, but the sun is not up yet. So the bride is actually likened to the breaking of the morning. And the morning breaks how? In stages or in progression. The morning does not break. As I said, you flip a light switch and the night is gone and the day is there. But you brothers that's been out, you sisters, whatever, daylight or before daylight, and you sit there, you're driving or whatever you are, and you'll begin to see, and before you ever see the sun, before the sun's ever there, the morning begins to break. Now he said, who is this? Who is this? Notice again what he said. Who is this that looketh forth as the morning? So the rise sense of the soul is also in truth. It is a progression. We do not come to full understanding whenever we get saved, or even 5 years, or maybe even 75 years after we've been around. And the dawn of a Christian life, it is like the dispelling of the darkness around that seed germ which was in you by the thought of God. And when the morning begins to break around your life, the peaking of the sun before the sun's ever visible, and the redness of the sky, it begins to peep up over the horizon, and the morning is breaking. And how does it break? In degrees. How do we walk with God? In degrees. How has the church been revealed? In degrees. Now, you can't really tell when the night ends and when the day starts. And it's like the morning is struggling against the night. The sun isn't even up yet in the sense of seeing it, but the morning. Now notice he doesn't say the rising of the sun, but he says the bride, who is this that looketh forth as the morning? So what's she doing? She's struggling. She's struggling against the darkness. She's trying to peer against the darkness and break forth. What is she doing? Forerunning the coming sun. She's not yet burst into the fullness of her light, but she is there as the morning, and the darkness is dispelling. But does it just flee away? No, little by little by little, and the darkness a little more and a little more. 5 minutes is gone, and another 5 minutes is gone, and another 5 minutes is gone. And then before long, the sun comes up, and when he comes up, oh my, there's the millennium. But the bride is laboring and laboring and laboring as the morning, trying to dispel the night. And the night's trying to hold on and hold on and hold on. But the morning, degree by degree by degree. Notice in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now notice, the perfect day doesn't come first, but more and more comes before perfection. This is why it's important for you to sit under a God-called ministry that tells the truth. Because by that word, you'll be able to come more and more and more and more unto the perfect day, which is what we're aiming for, right? So watch now, the path of the just. Now here, Solomon is projecting forth the same idea that was set forth in the Song of Solomon, that the path of the just is coming more and more and more and more until the perfect day, when the light has been fully illuminated. From the morning sky, when the red is come forth and penetrating up to the darkness, and when the seal is broken, then the light begins to penetrate and the darkness is totally gone. Amen. Judges chapter 5 verse 31. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. Let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. Lord have mercy. Let him that loveth him be as the sun. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy re-reward. Not reward, but re-reward. Now watch, back to Solomon again. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Now watch, he goes from one description of the bride, breaking, describing her as the breaking of the day. Now he comes over into her heavenly astronomical ministry. Now there is a divine astronomy. I said there is a divine astronomy. There's an earthly one that's absolute nonsense, but there's a heavenly one that makes perfect sense. Now watch, he says she goes forth as the morning, fair as the moon. Let's look in Genesis chapter 1 verse 15. What's God now bringing forth at the dawn of the creation on the earth? That's what we'll call it that. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now, of course, we pick up here and we know the sun and the moon was already in existence and the stars also. But we're picking up on the dawn of it that way. Let me say, whenever the day was breaking forth again on the earth when it was being reclaimed. After whatever had happened to the earth and the earth is being reclaimed, then God divides the waters and he's moving upon the earth and God sets what he called a firmament and he called the firmament heaven. So the firmament was actually an expanse which was above the earth. It was above the earth. And the firmament God called heaven. So the expanse called the heavens is where the stars, the moon, the sun, all this is there in the expanse of the heavens. So God now is going to place in the expanse. He didn't place it on the earth. But God said, let them be for lights in the firmament. So the firmament is what you look up in the nighttime and we look and our eyes cannot see a shape to it. Our eyes cannot see perimeters and boundaries, but they are there. And that is what God called the firmament, and the firmament he called heaven. Now, it's not heaven where he lives, but it is the heaven where all of these stars and things take place in the cosmos. Now, he said, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Now, of course, he's not named them yet, but we know the name of them is the sun and the moon. So the sun is the greater light which was made to rule, have dominion over the day, and the lesser light was made to rule the night, and of course she was the moon. Now notice verse 17. Then God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So God now places them where they were before this time. We do not know whatever happened to blow the earth in this state that it was. Who knows exactly what it was? But apparently the moon and the sun was not in the orbit that it was, and the earth was not standing up like it is today. And God now brings them back. Now that he's going to reclaim the earth and use the earth as our home, God now brings the earth near into a cycle where it will become its revolutions. So he places the sun and the moon, and they are to affect the earth. Aren't you glad for the sun and the moon? Naturally. Now watch in verse 18. To rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Now listen how Brother Bram explains this. The moon and the sun is husband and wife. And while the sun has gone away, it throws its light against the moon to give us a smaller light. Now the moon is not an luminous object itself. It is not, does not have the capability of hydrogen and oxygen and all these things to be able to be there as a star, but our moon is more like a satellite which orbits our earth, and it has a great impact on our earth. So God places it there, and he will make it so that the sun will reflect its full glory on the earth, and when the sun will go around to the other side of the earth, then God gives a witness of Hebrews 13:8 that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, even though when you can't see him, you can see him through the ministry of the moon. So the moon cannot, it's not a molten core, it's not a molten lava, and it's not putting out, you know, thousands of degrees of heat and all that sort of thing like the sun is, but the moon reflects the light which is borrowed from the sun. So she is reflecting what he is, but yet in a weaker way. Oh, hallelujah. She has no light of her own, no fire of her own, no power of her own, but she is reflecting what he is. His attributes are hers. She is him expressed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, notice here he said, while the sun is gone away, it throws its light against the moon to give us a smaller light until the sun comes. And when the sun comes, the moon fades out. I was up early this morning after daylight, and as I looked up into the sky, I saw there she was. Oh my, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And yet the sun was already up, and she was still hanging there, which of course we know she will do in her waning and waxing. And there she was hanging, but you could just see part of her, and she was so faint, and you know, just that all that beautiful thing about her. But you look over and compare her to him, there's no comparison at all. What? The prophet said the church is the light of the world until Jesus comes, and it all melts together like the moonlight and the sunlight becomes one light when it merges together. When Christ and the church comes together at the great millennium, they emerge into one. Oh, what a day. The moon is the shadow of the sun, and the sun just reflects its light when it's behind the earth. And when the moon gives light to walk by at night, what a beautiful picture we have here. Another beautiful picture. The sun represents Christ and the moon represents the church. They're just like husband and wife. And in the absence of Christ, the church reflects the minor light, the gospel. It's the light to walk in until the sun rises again. Then the church and the sun, the moon and the sun blends together. The moon is a part of the sun and the church is a part of Christ. Praise be to God. And while the absence of Christ, the church reflects the light, then as sure as we can see the moon shining, it knows the sun is shining somewhere. And as long as the church is reflecting the light of Christ, Christ is alive somewhere. Now, let me go into this, and we've looked at it before. This person that's in you, which is your birth, you are John Doe, you were born in a certain month, you were born under a certain star, you were born under a certain thing, that has something to do with you, certainly it does. I know Papa used to say, I can't plant them potatoes at this time because the moon isn't right. Amen. You can't plant them potatoes, Billy, and I said, I'm not planting them in the moon, I'm planting them there in the ground. Said, all right, smart aleck, go on. You get a few bumps on your head and you'll learn something. I like his next words. I did. When are we going to ever be able to say, I did? I tell you, you take a board and lay it down on the grass in the dark of the moon and watch what happens. That grass will die right now. Lay it on the light of the moon. You can let it lay there a week and it won't hurt it a bit. Now, in one way, it doesn't make any sense at all that you take a board and lay it out on the grass, and you think whether the moon is the light side or the dark side, what has that got to do with it when it's hundreds of thousands of miles away from the earth? But yet it has an effect upon the earth. God placed her there to rule the night. You understand where the word lunatic come from? Lunar. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying y'all's lunatics now. I don't know what I'm saying. Neither am I saying I am. I'm just saying there is a relation between the earth and the people on the earth. Amen. Now, look at this. He said, you watch the sea when that moon changes yonder. When the moon goes out, the tide follows it out. And it's millions of miles from the earth. Not only that, it go down in the state of Kentucky and sink a rod down in the ground till you get into salt water and watch that pipe, how deep it is when the moon, that tides in, and watch it when it goes out. Plumb under across the earth. You plant something that spreads out on the top of the earth in the dark of the moon, and you watch it go right down like a radish or a turnip wheel, and you plant it back the other way and watch it spread out on top of the earth. It's got something to do. Now, what is this? This is ordinances of God. Now, we don't really pay near as much attention to the moon and the stars and all that as what people did years and years ago. We have flashlights, we have headlights, we have all these lights, but years ago, they operated by how much a luminous light came from the moon. In order to do certain things, they had to go over the moon. But if you will go beyond us and go to the animals of Africa and many other animals, which have been scientifically proven, that it still affects them according to the waxing and the waning of the moon, or according to whether it is the brightness of the moon, certain fish markets around the world, in India, in the Philippines, according to the what the moon is doing, you'll catch certain fish, and in certain cycles of the moon, you won't catch them. Because of the way it harmonizes with the way God. What's it doing? It is ruling, though it is ruling invisible. Have you got any rules from the moon lately? You got any mail from the moon to where the moon told you to do this or do that or do something else? No, I haven't either, and we won't. Has there been any emails or any texts from the moon down to the earth? Over and out, I'm checking the moon here. What's my instruction for today? But the moon is there. She makes no noise. She's totally silent. But her presence has a power which affects what goes on the earth. And we're looking around and saying, oh my, we're of no value. We're no good. We're not doing anything at all. You wait till we're gone and you'll find out. I said, you wait till we're gone and you'll find out all hell's fixing to break loose when God takes the moon from under the influence of this earth. That's exactly right. Now notice Psalms 104 verse 19. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Actually, the foundation of the division of time in the months and in the years is cycled on a 30-day cycle with the moon. Now, how in the world can that be possible when our average distance is 238,855,000 miles away from the earth? Sometimes closer, sometimes farther. How in the world can something that far away be able to affect us? And she does not put out any pulsation of radioactive waves or emit things like the sun does. She's beautiful to look at. My, she's awesome. And yet we don't see any fire spurting out from her. We can still see craters all over her by close-up pictures where asteroids and meteors have hit her, blemished her. And yet there she is. God said her. Well, you say she evolved. Yeah, right, about like I did. She evolved about like you evolved from a jackrabbit to a human. Why don't you keep on evolving then from a dummy to a smart person and believe the word? Why does evolution stop at them scientists and leave them a bunch of nincompoops? I don't know. They understand how what they think about evolution and this and that and the other, and yet it comes up to them and they can't see God. I can't see nothing else but God myself. Now watch the way God placed the order of the moon is a total different order by which he placed the sun. Now watch, he said he appointed the moon for seasons. So the seasons on the earth would correspond with the cycle of the church. I mean the moon. So when the church is going through certain seasons, there will be political things that will raise up on the earth. There will be revivals. There will be up and the downs of kings and kingdoms. There will be all kinds of things that will correlate according to what's going on in God's mind about the moon. Praise the Lord. As Jesus told Pilate, you would have no power over me if it was not given to you from above. Come on, church. You realize the devil cannot take us. He cannot do this and that and the other until the time has arrived. And the devil is not the one appointed for seasons. We are. Praise the Lord. God ain't appointing the time of the rapture around the devil, around the church, around Congress, around Europe, around the United Nations. He is appointing that around the condition and the need of the bride. Exactly right. Now notice then in Jeremiah 31:35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night. Notice I didn't say the light of the moon, but the ordinances here. So there are laws, there are ordinances by which God gave of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Now let me read you a little bit of science. The ocean on the side of the earth facing the moon gets pulled toward the moon more than does the center of the planet. This creates a high tide. Now, the side of the earth that is facing the moon, the gravitational pull from the moon will begin to pull on the waters. On the other side of the earth, another high tide occurs because the center of the earth is being pulled toward the moon more than is the ocean on the far side. The result essentially pulls the planet away from the ocean, a negative force that effectively lifts the ocean away from the planet. Wow. Wow. Perhaps the most important effect of the moon is the way it stabilizes our rotation. When the earth rotates, it wobbles slightly back and forth on its axis. It's like a top which simply doesn't spin in a vertical position on a table or a floor. But without the moon, we'd be wobbling much more. That's why folks get in trouble when they leave church. They wobble over here and wobble over there. Come on, children. Now you mean God placed that moon out there and he knew the earth would be tilted on a 23 and a half degrees angle, and in order to keep the moon, you see, if it was not, it would be like Mars. Now Mars pivots and Mars moves back and forth. If it was not for the moon being where she is and throwing a stabilization on the earth, then the earth would actually tilt so much that they said the axis could come up like this and the earth would lay like this. And spin around and around and around. And then she'd go back this way. And then she'd go back this way. Sounds like Laodicea when the bride's gone. Sounds like the tribulation period when all hell breaks loose. Whenever the effect of the bride is gone from the earth. Oh my. And the effect of the moon is gone. You watch people that leave a church and leave a God called ministry and watch their lives. What happens to them, children? If you wish to be that way, suit yourself. Myself, I want to be under the effect of the moon. Amen. Notice this. Without the moon as a stabilizer, the earth would sometimes tilt all the way over and lay on its side in relation to its orbit around the sun. This would make for extreme differences between temperatures and daylight throughout the year. Can't you see what happens to folks when they pull away from church? How extreme they become. Praise the Lord. At other times, the earth's axis would be straight up and down, making night and day equally long year round. There would be no seasons. No season, so it would stand up like this, but yet God tilted it over after the flood, and he set the moon right over there near, said, now watch her. Watch her. She'll wobble a little bit. She'll get out of the word every now and then. But that ministry of the moon will keep that wobble from coming back out. Oh, it was wobbling bad in the days of Catholicism. And the moon come up in the ministry of Luther. Oh my, she started wobbling pretty bad again. And God sent another spurt of the moon under the days of Wesley. On and on and on we could go until the full moon come back under Malachi 4. How many stages are there of the moon rising? First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, full moon. Justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost himself. The person Christ to come in full moon. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice this, there would be periods with more extreme weather and bigger differences between winter and summer. The moon is also suspected of being causative agent. In earthquakes. So no wonder the worst one that's ever been will be aligned in the final quarter of the moon. Since merely a small pull can be enough to cause the buildup of tectonic stress to suddenly release. Now look at the moon, just a little bit about her. The moon has a very thin atmosphere. So a layer of dust or a footprint can stay undisturbed for centuries. So it's easy to see her atmosphere is not her power. This is why we as Christians can be so touchy. A footprint just lays on us for centuries. Somebody says something or somebody done this and that and the other. We just carry that old thing and man alive, we just go on over. Well, look at the moon. All you got to do is look at her in pictures or on the telescope and you'll see she's been blasted by one meteor after another. You don't say that on the sun, do you? But the moon still bears these scars. Now, because the moon does not have an atmosphere like the earth, then you can imagine how whenever Buzz Aldrin and all these different astronauts have been up on the moon and walked around on her, their footprints are still there. Those moon rover tracks are still there. Now, in our mind, we think there ain't no way in the world that could be. You're thinking about an earth that has a very strong causative atmosphere, and the rain will come and wash it away, or the wind will blow it away. Not so with the moon. The moon has such a small atmosphere around her that once something is done on the outside, it can lay there for a long, 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 long time. Come on now. It'll become a footprint. Then it'll become a grudge. Then it'll become a hard feeling. Then it'll become this and that and the other. Come on, children. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad my power is not out here. I'm glad my power is not where man walks around, aren't you? I'm glad my power, my pull, hallelujah, is something from my core, not the outside man. My atmosphere is pretty thin at times too. Any of y'all thin skins? People say something and hurt your feelings and do this and hurt your feelings and disappoint you and let you down. Typical moon. Typical moon, I said. Boy, boy, we can't get over this and can't get over that and the preacher done this and the deacon done that and this and so and so and so. That's typical moon talking. Oh my. Notice this. Notice how she is. And without much of an atmosphere, heat is not held near the surface. She has hardly no atmosphere, so the heat is not held near the surface. So there's times she can't feel anything. She prays, she don't feel nothing. Goes to church, don't hardly feel nothing. Listen to a tape, don't feel nothing. Typical moon. Praise the Lord. Daytime temperatures on the sunny side of the moon reach 273 degrees Fahrenheit. Or for the rest of the civilized world, 134 Celsius. On the dark side, it gets as cold as minus 243. This is how extreme we can be. When we're in the sun, we're 275 degrees flaming. We're like flamethrowers. But boy, when we can't see the sun. We're just about as extreme below zero. 243 degrees below zero. The sun isn't like that. The earth isn't like that. It's the church. I mean the moon. Why would God place her there to go through such extremities? Why would God place her there to be able to be influenced and affected by such contrast? I wonder if the moon ever get discouraged and say, I think I'll quit. I'm just getting so low and so disappointed down there. Them people down there, they're living like devils. They don't appreciate what I do. Do they ever stand here and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Mr. Moon or Miss Moon, whatever you are. I am so grateful that you're there. I cannot imagine what you go through for me. When the sun's on you, you're 273 degrees plus. When the sun's away from you, you're minus 243. I cannot imagine what you go through for me, Moon. Thank you so much. Oh my. We know that due to tidal friction caused by the moon, Earth's rotation slows down very slightly over time. As it slows, our days get longer. Because Earth is spinning more slowly, we experience longer periods of light from the sun. Now watch now, tidal friction will slow down the earth and its progression of sin, and there can be longer exposure to the sun and make the days longer. When we extrapolate these backwards, we see then 24-hour day today is a product of a slowing rotation over time. It used to spin much faster. Without the moon to slow the rotation, the day would only be 6 to 8 hours long. Now the moon, there she stands. She never says a word. I mean, she never brags. She never boasts about what she's doing. No emanating rays of light or ultraviolet rays or anything like that is coming from her. But her power is built in from within, and it's invisible. It's an invisible power that affects our children. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same way with the presence of the church on the earth. They will say, "Well, that bunch of holy rollers, they don't amount to nothing." You wait till we're gone. They're a bunch of nuts. Yeah, you wait till God takes the nuts out. It's going to fall apart. And yet we look around and mind the people say, "My goodness, them people, they're just absolute nonsense. I've never seen such people in my life." And yet they don't realize the effect of what it does. Us being here keeps the judgment of God off of it. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 25. "There shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord," glory, "bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound." Now we know prophetically that this is pointing to the millennium. Whenever the time will come that God will merge with his bride upon the earth. But let us take from here and run a parallel. Now the light of the moon is a real light, but it is a borrowed or reflected light. Now notice how Isaiah says this: "The light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun," pointing to a time to when the moon will become so luminous that you can look at the sun and look at the moon at before this time and you think, "My, they're the same. She is him." But at the same time, when the moon elevates into this position, the sun will now take on a personification that his light will be magnified 7 times more than what it was before. Of course, 7 is the number of completion, perfection. Now, the moon does not come in direct contact with the sun, but the sun is reflecting on the moon, and the moon reflects back this way. So it's the light is first thrown upon the moon, heaven, and then it comes from there. I think I read it to you. It's been a couple of years ago when I dealt with on the stars, how that whenever they did one of the World's Fair, that they had caught through a little bitty old cell, and they was able to reflect that moonlight from that cell over to a certain switch and made a light there that to illuminate the World's Fair. And the light that had come from the moon to be able to come in this little photo cell actually left the earth, or the moon rather, way back there in 1890 something or another, and it was coming upon the earth how many ever years it was later, took that far for it to travel in order to reach that distance. Now you realize then that the distance by which God projects His Word has always been His own ordinance. We can't do it. That's why we cannot, by warning, cannot cause a revival. We cannot cause a revival in Happy Valley Church around the world, because the moon is set by the ordinance of God to be able to reflect the light of God for what the purpose is for that hour. You follow me? No matter how much we would cry and pray for God to stir America and send America revival, that will never happen. Why? Because the ordinance of God says she's done crossed over that line and there's no hope. Praise the Lord. So we do not want to try to take who we are and what we are and work against the ordinance of God, but we want to work with what we are according to the plan of God, and that is to be able to reflect the light as best as we can. Now notice he says the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Now the light that comes, even though it's a reflected light, that comes from the sun to the moon, which comes to the earth, it is not a warm light. There's something that happens in between the time the light comes from the sun to the moon, from the moon to the earth, and it loses that element of heat. You've stood out as well as I have in the cold of the night and see a full moon, and yet it don't warm your heart at all. There's no heat that comes from it. So in the reflection of the light, a great deal of what the sun is lost, but you can see that it is a reflective light. That light from the moon will not cause vegetation to grow. The light from the moon will not cause the acorn, the walnut, your tomato seeds, all that, even though it's from the moon, but it does not have the power, amen, it does not have the power to make the seed grow. Whew. Oh, glory. Amen. You realize the people of Sychar, this is what happened to them. St. John chapter 4, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now watch. Here is the Lord Jesus, the Son. Here is this woman at the well, as we know her. She is a predestinated seed, so she's a future part of the ministry of the moon. Now she catches the illumination personally from the Lord Jesus, and she believes what he has said. Then she comes back and goes to her city and reflects that light back to the earth, and then they go over to him and they begin to listen to what he had to say. Now watch verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the moon. For the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Now Jesus was shining on her, and the reflection was coming from her to them. Now they were believing second-handed. They were believing how? By a reflection. Notice now in verse 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now it's no longer Jesus hitting the woman and coming back indirectly from the woman to them, but now the Son is hitting them. Don't you understand, friends, why folks are leaving the message? The light of this word come through the ministry of the Son of Man. It hit the bride ministry, and then we went out, give out books, tapes to colleges, schools, whatever more, and brought many people into the churches, and my, here they come, and they come and sit under the ministry, and it was a second-handed reflected light from the moon, and then now many of them are looking around, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that, I don't know about that. Why? They never went on to him. They never went on to him. Now, this is nothing wrong with what this woman is doing. But if you'll notice the perfect circle of what God wants him to be, God don't want him to be the sun, her to be the moon, and them to be nothing. But God wants him to be the sun, her to be the moon, her share what's going on. And then them also become the moon, which are getting the same personal reflection that she got. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. God don't want it to be that I get the personal reflection, the preachers get it, the deacon get it, and then you all have to take my word for it. God wants you to walk with him in your own experience, where that light comes straight from the Son of God and shines on your heart as well. Oh my. Many more believe because of his own word. Verse 42. And said unto the moon, now we believe. Not because of thy remas, for we have heard him ourselves. That's not downplaying her. That's not degrading her. But now they have their own experience with God. Praise be to God. What was that reflective light? That reflective light coming from the sun, hitting her as part of the moon, to an extension down upon them. What for? So they could be her followers? So they could set unto her and make her a woman preacher and let her be the leader? So it would point them to him. Any preacher that does not point you to him, get away from him. Any church, whatever it is, that does not point you to him, if you're sitting under a preacher, reading a preacher's books, listening to a preacher's tapes, and you're drawn closer to that preacher than you are Jesus, you're under a false spirit. If that ministry does not draw you to the Lord Jesus, you're under the influence of an evil spirit. If you're talking about the preacher more than you are about God, there's something wrong with you. Well, some of you didn't like it, but that's the truth, isn't it? Oh my, many more believe because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know indeed. Listen what they knew. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Yep, they was in the direct rays of the sun. We have no proof that he told them that. We have no proof that he said that. But they were so under the luminous power of the sun, Brother Skip, they heard something and it so came upon their lives that they said, we know who this is. This is the Christ. Now remember, these are Gentiles. They are not Jews. The Jews never even acknowledged such a thing. These people had an understanding that it took the apostles years to even move up to. Amen. Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. May I join in with them and say, I've not only heard it from the tapes, I've not only read it from the Bible, I have heard him myself. I have met him myself. And I know indeed he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Not only the Savior of the world, but my Savior, my Redeemer. Oh my. Hallelujah. Let's stand. We ain't got enough time to do it all tonight. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord visits his people and refreshes them and brings them a stirring. And the moon will come out of her eclipse and she'll begin to shine as best as she can. And people will see this about her. My, they're so moved. But they never get exactly the same thing she did. And they live under the moonlight. Some of them live under moonshine, I think. I'm afraid spiritually that's what's happened, children. Now, you may think it's funny, but I'll tell you what's happening. A lot of folks have got drunk on moonshine, spiritual moonshine, instead of drinking of the spiritual wine from the sun. They got so caught up in the church and Brother Branham, and they got caught up in this pastor and the way this pastor explains it. Oh my, this man here, I'll tell you what, he is so profound. And a lot of the folks in the message, the only thing they know about the message is what their pastor says about it anyway. They don't listen to the tapes, they don't read the books, because they're way too busy. That's why they pay the preacher for. Let him get up there and do it. You show me where the prophet taught that, and I'll teach the same. So while they're drunk on moonshine, and they're staggering. Glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost, but you're drunk on moonshine. But if you get that wine that come out of Acts chapter 2, if the church fails, you go on anyhow. If the preacher fails, you go on anyhow. Your mama fails, you go on anyhow. Why? You're drunk on that new wine, not moonshine. I don't want moonshine. I want that new wine that comes from the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That I can say like the people of Sychar, I have heard him myself.
Praise God. Let me read this scripture again. We'll close. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people. So when the breach has been met, there will be a releasing of light. When the Lord binds up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. So there will be a sevenfold brightness. You know as well as I do that the sun, he will be there, and there may be cloudy and overcast. Very same sun. And watch it clear in the afternoon, or maybe the next day, full sun. And your eyes, you have to have sunglasses. You can't hardly see. Was it the same sun before? It was. But the clouds and the atmosphere, the smog, or whatever more, the haze, becomes so, it was filtering down the power of the sun. Oh, glory. Can't you see what it'll be in the end time when the evening light will come? We had all kinds of haze of denominations and interpretations of the word. But the Son of Man was to be revealed in the last days. And the bride, amen, she ain't piled upon a beach somewhere in a bikini, but the bride's laying under the influence of the Son of Man, getting a Son of Man tan. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To bake all the greenness out of her, bake all the world out of her, to make her in the image of the Lord Jesus. And the Son has revealed himself in a sevenfold strength, because the clouds and the smog and the mist has rolled away. Amen. And that, both of that happens at the same time, that the moon will be like the sun, and the sun will reveal itself in a sevenfold manner. Praise be to God. When the Lord will bring together the breach of his people. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us. Oh, Heavenly Father, may we say as the people of Sychar, we have not just believed because of mama's word or daddy's word. Most of us, Lord, were not even there to see and sit under the ministry of Brother Branham. I know there's some here tonight that were, just a few. But Lord, most of us were not there. Most of the believers today around the world were not there. Yet we believe, not because the woman at the well told us, but because we have heard from him ourselves. We have met him and had an experience with him. A life-changing experience. Lord, as the moon, we still bear on our image the marks. Lord, and scientists say that the moon actually came from the earth. She came from the earth, so they say. Those meteors hit her years and years and years ago. And because the atmosphere there doesn't remove it, she still bears those scars. Oh, Heavenly Father, even though we stand here tonight as your people, saved and redeemed, yet many of these still bear the marks of sin. Things they've done in the past. It's not that you remember them, but they do. It's not that you remember our faults and failures, but we do. We bear those marks in our image. How we long for the day, Lord, when our face will be changed. Praise God. Oh, we long for the day when the atmosphere around the earth, the moon, the sun will come into that sevenfold light. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We believe it, of course, naturally be fulfilled in the millennium. But Lord God, we look around and realize you promised rabbits in the days of Luther and other things in the days of others. But in this day, there's a seven-course meal, for all seven seals have been opened for those who are ready to receive the Word of God. So the sevenfold glory of His personage has been revealed. Then, Lord, if the sun is shining brighter, then truly the light from the sun reflecting on the moon should be brighter as well. Lord, we know we go through these times as the moon, that we will wane and wax. We know, Lord, that we will have eclipses. We know, Father, that we'll go through the cycles. Lord, that we will be in quarter moon and half moon and three quarters and full. Lord, there'll be times that we just don't feel like we did last month or whatever more. That don't mean we're not saved. It doesn't mean that we're not your children in the given cycle as much as we are in the full moon cycle. Lord, it's just we're changing glories. When we're in that quarter cycle, Father, it seems like there's so much of you that is reflecting. It's because the way we are turned toward the earth, it's the way the earth sees us. But Lord, may we realize when we are looking at the moon and we're only seeing that quarter part of her. Hallelujah. On the other side of her, there's three quarters of her that are still illuminated facing the sun. But that quarter part is facing the earth. Lord, I think that's part of why we struggle with trying to see who we are, trying to understand who we are. Is Lord, that quarter part is facing the earth, our bodies, our humanity, our perception. And we see so little of it ourselves. Oh, but if we could only look on the other side, that side that's facing the sun, it is so illuminated by His presence. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us tonight, I pray, Father. We love you, Lord. Would you give us a greater understanding of who you are, who we are, Lord? Father, we know that we'll never fully comprehend it, no doubt, till we get there that day. But, Lord, we do want to understand everything that is ordained to be our allotment in this life. Oh, grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who is this that looketh forth as the morning? Oh, my. Like the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners. Who is this? So the question is raised. Who is this? Who is this? I'll tell you who she is. She is the elect of God. When He come on the earth, the question was raised when He come into Jerusalem. I was worshiping Him, breaking down palm branches and laying them in the trees. People were shouting and screaming. And then other people begin to say, who is this? Who is this? They asked that when He was here. Now they're asking it since she's here. Amen. Aren't you glad you knew who she is? I trust by God's grace you also know you're part of it. Don't be like Moses. Oh, I know there's a bride. I know there's a bride. I know there's going to be a rapture. I know God's going to do it. But how in the world could it be me? But by faith, I am one of them. I am one of them. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how God's going to take care of all these things in my life and all these situations. But I know He's God. And I know He can do it. Amen. How many believes He's God? Do you realize, children, when you see the Lord God healing people up here? Do you see when you understand when you see God answering prayers and God doing the things that He's doing in and through the ministry of the moon? He's testifying His presence is here. He's testifying, I've not forgotten you. I love you. I'm with you. I've given my moon to rule the night.
The sun will not be here until the seventh morning. Hallelujah. The sun will not be here till the seventh morning. This is our ordinance. This is our charge. This is our dominion and our rule. Let us rule well. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know any good songs about the moon? We'll make up one. We need a good one right quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship Him a little bit, can we? Maybe you stand here tonight and you feel like you're in a total eclipse. For where you are in your life, you're going through such trials and tests and strains and whatever more. You just think, Lord, I'm totally useless. Whether or not you understand that the power of the moon and the tidal phase has just as much effect in an eclipse as it does when you can see it. Maybe you're in the first quarter, the second quarter. Maybe you're in three quarters. Maybe you're full, wherever you are. I don't think there's one of us here tonight that could say we're beyond help. Do we all need help from the Lord? Greater understanding of who we are, helping our families, our homes to be what God wants us to be. Anybody else here besides me? Oh my, I want to be what He wants me to be. I go through them cycles just like you do, friend. Oh, I go to a spot where I feel like I'm wasting my time. I go through spots where I think, Lord, what good does it do to even preach? What good does it do to study? People do whatever they want to do, but I'm just an eclipse, that's all. I'll come out. I'll come out on the other side. We always do, don't we? You've been right there with me. You've been where you were so eclipsed and it wasn't seconds, but it seemed like it was days and weeks and months and you got depressed and you got down. But don't worry. You've always come out of them. You'll come out again. Amen. There is no permanent eclipse for the moon. God's ordained you to illuminate this world. Rule well, Miss Moon. Rule well. Before long, He'll take you from this earth. Do you realize every year the moon is getting farther and farther away from the earth. Every year, she is getting farther away from the earth. And scientists in their gloom, of course, they look out there and say, after how many ever years, you know, she'll be totally gone. And whenever she does, oh my, the earth will tilt up. And, you know, this will happen on the earth and that will happen on the earth. But said, don't worry. I was reading it today. Some scientists said, don't worry. Before that ever happens, the sun will enlarge and it'll increase and become so gigantic that it'll explode and it'll annihilate the earth. And I thought, I'm so glad I have a better manual to read. Before that ever takes place, the Lord Jesus will come with His bride on the earth and we'll take over. Amen. No, the sun ain't going to blow up and annihilate. It is one of God's attributes. And the moon will not go away from the earth. But I thought, what a parallel of how that they measured the moon and the moon is traveling farther from the earth. And I thought, that's exactly the way it is too with us. That before long, the moon will leave the earth and the effect of the moon will be pulled away from the earth. And all hell will break loose on this earth. Oh God, let me be gone. Let me be gone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Jesus, we worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We worship You tonight, Lord God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, you say that's a bunch of nonsense, Brother Donnie, is it? Is it really? Those of you who follow the signs, the moon signs, the sun signs, you have surgery done at a certain time according to the moon, it'll affect you different. Even a woman's cycle is based upon the moon cycles. Babies being born a certain cycle, certain time to do surgery. So ask these people that work in the ER and see when the full moon comes out if there's not an increase in this and that and the other. Why? Because it so affects human beings on the earth that it affects our lives. God put it up there to correlate with the effect. Oh, let me tell you something. Then don't you let no devil pull on you and convince you to come out from under the orbit of which God's placed you in a church. Oh my, come on, children. God placed you there. Oh, I can do just as good at home. You cannot. I don't care who you are. I'll tell you one thing. When I'm sick and I have to stay home and stream the services, I tell Caroline never, me and her both, never listen to a service that we don't say the same thing over and over again. I'm so glad that we can go to church. The streaming's good. All of that is good, but I'm so glad I don't have to stream. And I'm not downing those that have to, because there's people that live in parts of the earth where there is no church. But I'm so glad I can assemble myself together with the saints of God. I need you, children. I need you. I need to come together with the saints of God and be pulled into your orbit. I need you to encourage me like you need me to encourage you. We need one another. We need one another. That pull, I need that gravitational pull on you to keep me in line and keep me studying and keep me preaching. I wouldn't do this just for my own. Do you understand what keeps me studying, what keeps me going? It's not just the gift of God. It's that pull of you saints. It's when I come to church and I see hungry hearts and I see people that come and they want to be fed. Your pull pulls on me. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's just sing How Great Thou Art. That'll go good with the moon. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Let's just sing it as we worship Him together. Thank you, Lord. Now you imagine our Father. Our Father being so great that man just keep going and going and going. And I saw a documentary the other day where they said that the universe is continuing to expand. And they found these places out in there where stars are constantly being born. And the Orion Nebula and these other nebulas, the Crab Nebula and these other nebulas, these hot spots to where the hydrogen and the oxygen, and they caught it on the telescope, and I sent pictures back. But they say that could have happened, 10,000 years ago, but it's so far away. The light is just coming to where we are. And a God that big and that great, and you can't have a need that He don't know about it. You can't have a thought that goes through your mind that He don't know what it is. Oh my, and yet His wisdom and perfection is summed up in us. Then sings my soul, my Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let's just worship Him now. Let's just worship the Lord as we sing. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
Song again as you get ready to go tonight. Sure been good to be in church tonight, has it not? I just want to be closer to Him than I've ever been. Let's sing this together as we go.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to You. Let the world
To worship and obey.